Hey everybody, I've decided to keep a little bit of a vlog, except it's audio only. I don't know what you would call that, an a-log. It's a terrible name. Well, I'm here at PAX as a community ambassador for Magic. Wizards was great. They gave me a badge to PAX. They flew me out here and gave me a hotel. And they were like, hey, let's look at some stuff, create some content, have a great time. So that's what I'm going to do. And I want to give you guys all an update while I'm here doing it. So today is a big day. Getting up super early. We're going to take a tour of the Wizards offices, which is really cool because they don't normally give tours. And Mark Rosewater, everybody, none other than Mauro himself, is going to lead our tour. And here's the thing. You can't take video in there because of super secret stuff that you might spy. But I'm not doing video for this. This is an A-log. Oh, it's just a terrible name. So I'm going to be able to record it for you. I'm going to give you a little insight, like take you along on this tour of the WotC offices with me, hosted, of course, like I said, by Mark Rosewater, and the rest of the community team of ambassadors will be there as well. We have people from 13 different countries joining us to spread the word about Magic from PAX all over the globe, including you guys, like a Chinese movie star who is a legit movie star in China. He brought an entourage of 6 people. Also, he's really cool. So this is wild and crazy. We've got France, we got Germany, we got the UK, we got the US, we've got Brazil, we've got, Australia. Yeah, I met a really sweet guy from Australia who streams on Twitch. He has tattoos everywhere. He's really funny and awesome. Like, there's just a bunch of great people. And I'm going to take you on this journey with me. So today is the tour of WotC. And we're going to check out the Paramount Theater later, where the World Championship is happening, and PAX and the Kaladesh celebration and all of that. So in a few seconds here, Mark Rosewater is going to take it away.
I can give you a scoop of what actually goes on here. So one of the key things is we are on 4 different floors. I'm going to be showing you part of the first floor, the fourth and the third floor. Second floor is kind of boring. We're not going to go there. Third floor is where the exciting stuff happens anyway. So we're going to walk you through, and I'm going to tell you a lot about sort of behind the scenes, how we do things, and try to give you a lot of sort of insider information on Wizards. As you'll notice as we go through it, it's an office building. I think people have a lot of images of, I don't know what they imagine, but it's cubicles and stuff. Yeah. So, but I will try to show as much as I can. We have hidden away things that are not for your eyes, so you will see things might be covered up. We have, in where we can, done some stuff where we've shown you examples, but with stuff you can see rather than stuff you can't see. So we've prepared for your tour, but as you walk around, you'll notice that some stuff is covered up. Normally that's not true, but we work way, way far ahead, by the way, just to give you some idea. I have had meetings in the last month in which I've talked about 2022. So we work way, way ahead. I mean, normally when I work on a set, for example, design's the first one to look at it. Advanced design type stuff will happen 3-4 years out maybe, and then design itself about 2 years out. So we work a long time out. And like, I'm right now scoping out things that are beyond things that are beyond things that you guys have any idea exist. So we do that. Okay, let's start here. This is Dominaria. That's the name of this room. So the way it worked was, for a long time, we would have to take the staff out of the building to have a meeting with all the staff. We actually would rent out a nearby, like, auditorium or something. And finally, we said, you know what? Maybe we should just have a room big enough that if we wanted to meet everybody at once, we can. And so this, for starters, has become the de facto, when we have an all hands, it's called, this is where we meet. We'll line up all the chairs in here. But this is also doubles as a place, for example, when we have our pre-releases. The tables you see right here, during a pre-release, the whole thing is filled with tables. And I think we keep breaking records on our employee pre-releases. So every time we have one, we have more people playing. How big is our staff now? It's about 500 something. And like the last pre-release event was like in the 400s or something. So the vast, vast majority of the staff play Magic. Obviously Magic. So we make 3 games here, majorly make 3 games, and then we also do Access and I guess we do a couple games. We do Magic, obviously, we do Dungeons and Dragons, we do a game called Duel Masters, which is, Duel Masters came about because we had Pokemon, the Pokemon license we were distributing in the United States, and then they went away because they decided they could do that. So we wanted to figure out what, we wanted to do another kids TCG, and at the time, Yu-Gi-Oh! Was very popular. Well, Pokemon started in Japan and then came here. Then Yu-Gi-Oh! Started in Japan and came here. So we came up with an awesome idea to make our own Japanese TCG, which we would make big in Japan and then bring here. The first part worked really, really well. We have it's a hit in Japan. It's one of the top trading card games in Japan. Every time we try to move to the United States, it hasn't quite worked, but we tried it once called Duel Masters and once called Kaijudo. Anyway, it is still very popular. We make it in this office. We have partners in Japan that do all the creative work and the story and stuff, and we work very closely with them. There's a manga and all sorts of stuff that go with Duel Master. We also oversee Axis and Allies. Most of that isn't made in the building, but we do distribute it. And basically what happened is when we got bought by Hasbro back in 1998 is they decided to make us the core gaming company. So we handle sort of games that are like for very, people who game as a hobby, I guess is the way we always say it. People that are very, very into games. And so they gave us all of Avalon Hill when they bought us. And so we've been overseeing Avalon Hill for many, many years. And that makes Axis and Allies and Diplomacy and various games like that. So this room, we had a big contest of all the people in the office to submit names for this room. And the winners, which I was one of the six, got prizes. Dominari was the name that was picked. You'll notice that there's four rooms here. Two of them have magic names and two of them have D&D names. So there's Zendikar and Ravnica, and there's Tomb of Horrors Waterdeep. So one of the things about the way that as we walk around, you'll see a lot of meeting rooms. Originally, the way meeting rooms worked is that section got to name their meeting rooms whatever they wanted, and they tended to have very geeky names. And then in the last about year, we've been adapting them and changing them over to Wizards IP stuff. So you'll see a few that haven't quite changed over yet, but little by little, like The Matrix turned into Meditation Realm, for example.
How are you liking the tour so far, Professor?
It's really fascinating to find out why all the rooms that they have meetings in have the various names that they have.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, come on down here. Okay, so I said there'll be some quizzes. Here is another figure that we had in one of our stores. This is a magic card. Who is this figure? Dakon Blackblade is correct, from Legends. Very good. So this is, for the vintage players, this is back from the early days of Legends. Because Wizard stores were a while ago, most of them are older figures, so we'll test your knowledge. So the idea of a lobby is we really like to show off Wizards, and so the lobby has basically different shelves devoted to different parts of Wizards. We have a screen that rotates through whatever video we have available. Sometimes it's on-stream stuff. Sometimes it's stuff we do at conventions. But it just runs through different Wizard stuff. Okay, so I'm going to walk you through all our cabinets. So our first cabinet right here is the Hasbro cabinet. We were purchased by Hasbro back in 1998. Wizards, actually, the company started in 1991 by five people. Peter Atkinson is the one that was the first CEO. In 1998, we were purchased by Hasbro, so we're part of a larger Hasbro. People ask how it's changed Wizards. The answer is that I think Wizards has actually changed Hasbro more than Hasbro has changed Wizards. One of the things that's gone on is Wizards has done such a good job that Hasbro has come to us continually asking us how we do things so they can copy how we do things. So anyway, this is our Hasbro dedication one. So these are all the different things that are a lot of the major brands of Hasbro. Okay, here's a question. Magic is Hasbro's number two brand overall. What is Hasbro's number one brand? Magic's number two of all brands in Hasbro.
Nerf
is correct. Nerf. Nerf is the number one brand. So we have a playful competitiveness with Nerf. Both us and Nerf are fighting to become the first billion-dollar brand. Neither is quite there yet, but we're both working toward it. But anyway, these are a lot of the major Hasbro. This is a little dedication to Hasbro. Okay, next. This is mostly Dungeons & Dragons. We do publishing, so this is a nod to a lot of our publishing. And then at the bottom is some of the Clue D&D. At the very, very bottom is... I think some of these might be from Magic. But anyway, this is mostly D&D. This is Duel Masters. So I talked about Duel Masters, the game we made for the Japanese market. The way they do things is very different. For example, this is how we sell decks in Japan, that it has a lot more splash to it than we do it here. And it's a lot shinier. The other big thing about Duel Masters is being tied into a manga is really, really important in Japan. And so we're in, I forget the name of it, but one of the things they do in Japan is they have like collections of manga that come together, and we're in the most popular collection of manga. So Duel Masters is actually very, very popular. The manga, not just the game, in Japan. By the way, if you turn around, this is the desk. So if you ever visit Wizards, one of the things we try to do, we don't actually give tours. You guys are, this is a special thing. We don't normally give tours. But one of the things we do is when people come, fans of the game, we'll give them little goodie bags, and whenever I can, the receptionist will message me, and if I'm free, I'll run up and say hi and take a quick picture. But anyway, this is our lobby. Oh, there's free candy right here. This has sugar in it. This doesn't have sugar in it. So, you guys want a piece of candy? Okay, so we're gonna move over here. Okay, guys, if you take a look at this wall. So, when we moved to this building, when Wizards first started back in 1991, it was in Peter Atkinson's basement. Eventually, we got a office building in Renton. When I first started, that's where we were. Then shortly after I started in 95, we moved across the street. And then about 11 years ago, we moved across the street to here. When we moved in this building, they decided what they wanted to do was, there's a lot of wall space. They were going to decorate all the walls with Wizards branded art, stuff that we do. And the idea was that every 6 months, this would change. That didn't prove out to be very true. It has changed, I think, 3 times in 11 years. So it changes not every 6 months. So there's a bunch of murals. This mural is part of a set of 5 of the magic colors. This is the blue mural. We're not going to go to the second floor, so we're not going to see the white mural, but we'll see the other 3. The weird thing about this mural is the people that make these are art graphic people. Not all of them are as well-versed in the IPs. So they put Bolas's home world in blue world. Now, I guess you could argue he's partly blue, so maybe that's okay. But in this room, you can peek inside. It's kind of like a convenience store. It has food, and it's all automated. So it's a place for us to eat that's all automated. You can get food, and then you can use your thumbprint to pay for it or a credit card to pay for it. But anyway, that's one of the places where we can eat. So, okay. So we're going to get to the pit in a second. That's where Magic R&D is. This is for Duel Masters. We keep trying to get a name for this other than the other pit. I like the pendulum, but that hasn't caught on. So so these are actual beta sheets. They're the only known beta sheets that I'm aware of. Maybe there's others, but I don't know of any others that exist. How do you know these are beta sheets and not alpha sheets?
Because of the border.
It's not cut, so you don't know. How do you know they're beta sheets and not alpha sheets?
Rounded.
Well, but they're not cut, so you don't know.
Which is the one of the circle protections has got like a mouse?
Yes, there are 5 things, or sorry, 7 things that are on this that aren't on an alpha sheet. Circle protection black was left off. Volcanic island was left off. And there's 5, each basic land got a new piece of art. So one of the things, the center one's the rare sheet. Here's where you can cringe and notice the islands on the rare sheet. So if you open up, the idea when Richard first made the game is he didn't want people knowing what was the rarities of stuff. And so, but the real reason islands are on here is not for that, although that was a secondary reason. Can anyone guess the actual reason that islands are on the rare sheet?
Because they're the best land in Magic?
No.
Because blue's the best color of Magic?
No. They wanted to have an even distribution of lands, and back then, lands weren't in a land. Like right now, they're in a land slot. Every booster has 1 land. In early Magic, they were just on the sheet, and you got lands in whatever sequence you got. There weren't enough islands. It was slightly off. So in order to balance that, they had to put a bunch of islands on the rare sheet so that it would make all the basic lands have the same distribution. And as a secondary thing, it helped hide a little bit rarities. When Magic first came out, they didn't tell you rarities. I remember when I opened up, we had no idea. Like, only by sort of looking at enough things could you slowly guess. Like, well, I see this a lot, so this must be common. In fact, the Shadus magazine, if you guys remember Shadus magazine, they were a role-playing game. They covered role-playing mostly. They did the very first breakdown ever of Magic rarity. And they did it solely from cracking packs. All their commons were right. They messed up some uncommons and rares just because of distribution. Like, I thought Siren's Call was a rare, because they said it was, and so I was hoarding Siren's Call, but I had a lot of them. But anyway, so these are the beta sheets. So we are now getting to the pit. So let's... Okay, guys, so this is the pit. This is where R&D, this is where Magic R&D, or the design development of Magic R&D, the creative team obviously has their own section. This is where Magic gets made as far as the game itself. The design tends to, we're segregated a little bit by our section, so design tends to sit together, development sits together, editing sits together, digital sits together. There's a lot of different sections where we'll sit together, but the pit is designed so that we can, A, do a lot of play testing. You'll see tables everywhere. It's set up so we can play test, and it encourages us talking to each other. So if I'm going to do something crazy, I might mention to Eric Lauer, who's the head developer right across from me, that I want to do something. The messy desk is my desk, by the way. And so the idea is, if I want to talk to Eric, because I talk to him quite a bit, he's right across from me. Like, Mark Gottlieb is the manager that oversees, I oversee the design, not the designers, not the people. I oversee the works. But Mark is my design manager, so we work very closely together because he's managing the people that I'm managing the work of. Okay.
Awesome.
So we couldn't show you the wall in the creative team because we're working on things far in the future, but we wanted to show you the kind of thing you would see on a wall. So these are all the results of the world building to craft Kaladesh. So most of what you're seeing in here is almost none of it has been public. This is the kind of thing that when we build a world, the way it works is we get in a team of artists. They spend anywhere from 3 to 5 weeks working on it with constant input from the creative team, and they keep fleshing ideas out. And what they'll do is they'll experiment, and at the end of every day, they'll pin up stuff on the wall, and they'll figure out what stuff is working and what's not so that they slowly steer in the direction of where we want to go. So Kaladesh, for example, Kaladesh is weird, by the way, because we did it in Magic Origins. They actually stole a little time from the world building at the time to make a little mini Kaladesh world building. And then when we did full Kaladesh, we had a brand new and did it even more to sort of flesh out the world. But one of the things is a lot of stuff that gets made is for the artist to see, if not even for the public to see. You'll notice over here, for example, they'll do a lot of... This is stylization of the kind of weapons or showing different kind of patterns of how they dress. Yeah.
This is our new planeswalker here.
I will let you guys, this is, nobody knows this. I will let you know a little secret is this is the basic red creature type that's being introduced in the set. Okay, guys, I will tell you this, but you can't, this can't be public till it's public from, okay? So you'll find this out on Friday. But these are gremlins.
Whoa. 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 No one else, just me.
Thank you also for dwarves.
No, you're welcome. So, yeah, the dwarves are here.
Yay!
I have a question. Yeah. Is there enough camel cards that I can play a camel deck?
Camel tribal.
Tribal.
I will say this. The next block will have more camels in it than this block.
Camels.
Camels confirmed.
Yeah, that's true.
Coat of arm camels.
So, unfortunately, I can't show you future stuff, but I will say that Armageddon is really beautiful. But it's different than that. I mean, one of the things that we did, by the way, I want to point out is we decided that we wanted to have sort of a Indian feel. And so what we did is we went and got people who were familiar with it so that we could make sure that we weren't misappropriating it or doing anything that would represent things we didn't mean to represent because we don't understand. We work very hard. The creative team works insanely hard. We want to be as diverse as we can. We want to show off as many cultures as we can, but we want to do it respectfully. And so you will see a lot of Indian influence, obviously, in Kaladesh, but that was done with a lot of consulting. There's little things you might not realize, like you can't make the roofs of domes green because that represents a house of worship, which we didn't... you might not know that without knowing the culture, but we did a lot of research to understand that. Elephants have a lot of, like, if you're very careful how you do elephants, and there's a lot of interesting things that obviously not from the culture, we didn't know, but we did the research to make sure we did it right. The thing that's very interesting about how we work is the actual timeline of making a magic product takes about 2 years from, and that's not even some of the early work I do, but from the time I start designing something to the time that CAPS finalizes it and sends it off, it's about 2 years. So everybody in the building is working on different projects at a different time. So right now, for example, the building is very much on, we're getting Kaladesh out the door, and we're marketing Kaladesh. And so brand, all they're thinking about is Kaladesh. Meanwhile, I'm just about to hand over Spaghetti, which is the fall set of 2018, to start the spring set of 2019. If you walk around the building, different people are caring about very different parts of magic. And that one of the hard parts is trying to keep it all at once. Because even though I'm working on milk, spaghetti and milk blocks, those student blocks. Spaghetti and meatballs is a block, milk and cookies is a block. I still have to deal with the public, and they want to know about Kaladesh, so I have to make sure that's one of the hardest parts of this job is Kaladesh is out right now, so I have to, Shadows is still, people asking questions, I need to know Shadows. Kaladesh is coming out, we need to know that. Amaket is on the verge of being out. Right now with Central Amaket is Ham, which is at the end of development. So we have to poke our head in there and make sure that they're not straying from vision. After Ham is Soup. Soup's in early development. Once again, we have to poke in there. After that is Spaghetti, which I'm just about to hand off. And then is Soup. And then after Spaghetti is Milk. And then I'm doing work on blocks with code names that aren't even public yet, that I can't even tell you the code name. That's how far ahead we are. But I have a new code name. Anyway, there's a new structure to the code names I'm frying out. You guys will see in a bit.
Does it feel permanently like you're time traveling or you're jet lagged because you're just going between different realities or planes walking?
Well, the hardest part is, this weekend, for example, it's all about Kaladesh, and I've not worked on Kaladesh in such a long time that I had if we were preparing for the thing, I had to do a lot of research and remember, we did this, just remembering how we did certain mechanics, because there's one mechanic in this block, for example, that went through major iterations, where we started, where it ended up, went through huge changes, and so I had to go back and remember, oh, we did this and this and then, just remember it. Because we have a whole mechanics panel and we're going to walk you through how we did all the changes and everything. So I had to remember it. But that's 2+ years ago for me. So it's a long time ago. So anyway, I want you to take a look in here and then we're going to, go in the elevators and go back down to Dominaria.
Spaghetti is not another Eldrazi saint, right? It does sound like that.
No. Remember, the code names pre-exist the worlds. So every once in a while they seem to line up, but that's purely... We didn't plan it that way. Friend's Roman countryman being Theros was not a plan that just happened. It was named before we knew it was going to be Theros. Some people really think that Tears and Fears being Shadows or Innistrad was somehow... none of it was, but...
80s pop music?
What? What happened was we had... what was it? Originally the code names were... Blood, Sweat, and Tears. It was a 3-block set, but it changed, and then we had to convert it to make it 2 2-block sets. But the public knew the name of the code names, so we didn't want to give away that we were changing. So we had to have this tricky kind of 3-set code names, but not really thing. So, anyway, look around, and then we're going to head back downstairs to Dominaria.
So we just got done with the tour of Wizards of the Coast led by Mark Rosewater. It was amazing, everybody. And we're going to sit down and draft some conspiracy here at WotC HQ before we hop on the bus and head over to Seattle itself for PAX and the World Championship and Kaladesh greatness over at the beautiful Paramount Theater. So we're having an orientation there for all of the community ambassadors. I've already seen the space. It's absolutely fantastic. Completely decked out in gold and luscious banners. And there's Kaladesh stuff just everywhere you could look. Kaladesh stuff, you turn around, boom, there's an artifact construct. You turn around, boom, there's some artifice. You turn around, boom, just gold upon gold. You know what I mean? Just gold everywhere. So we're going to take a tour of there. We're going to have our little orientation later tonight. Just going to hang out and have some dinner and stuff. Wow, it has been a packed day. We've seen some awesome stuff today. And I'm really excited that I could share a little bit of it with you because, not everybody can go on a Wizard of the Coast tour, especially since they don't normally give them. So I thought it would be cool to kind of give all of you, our lovely listeners, just kind of like a peek inside that world. It was really neat inside R&D. I'm not sure if you'll be able to hear this on the show, but in their ceiling tiles, they've like poked a hole over the pit and put like a little llama that's looking down at R&D and watching them all work. Just little tidbits like that that you would never know otherwise. So yeah, before I sign off for the night, because we've got a huge day coming up tomorrow, I just wanted to say that I learned a really cool story about the origins of why it's called Friday Night Magic. I mean, it seems kind of obvious why it's called Friday Night. It's from Magic on Friday Night. But it actually went through a lot of different name iterations, and I'm excited to tell that story on the podcast. So this is just like a reminder for myself. Tell that story. Okay, I'll see you guys later. Signing off here from day one at PAX/@Wizards. I'm Maria. I'll catch you guys tomorrow.